Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the July 15th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's tip off with the National Basketball Association Finals. The Milwaukee Bucks came back in the fourth quarter to beat the visiting Phoenix Suns Wednesday night and even the finals at two games each. The AP's Chuck Freeman reports from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
The Bucks took control on both ends of the court of the fourth quarter and have evened the series at two apiece with a 109-103 win over the Suns. On a night when the shots were not dropping for most of the Bucks, they were for Chris Middleton, who scored 40 points, including 10 straight in the final quarter, as the Bucks seized control of the game. Middleton says the game eventually turned their way.
I think for a majority of the game, we had a lot of great looks. We missed them. A lot of layups, a lot of open threes. You just hope at some point they're going to fall, but at the same time, you have to get stops, and that's the main thing. That fourth quarter, we were able to get stops when we needed to.
The Suns had a six-point lead heading into the fourth quarter when leading scorer Devin Booker picked up his fifth foul and had to spend considerable time on the bench. Booker finished with 42 points.
The group that was out there was holding it down, defending at a high level. It's just, you know, we have to close possessions, and, you know, that's obviously something that, you know, hurt us tonight.
Chuck Freeman, Milwaukee.
Thanks, Chuck. Milwaukee's head coach, Mike Budenholzer, says Devin Booker was definitely tough to stop in game four.
He's hitting, you know, contested, tough shots. You know, I think we just got to keep making him work for everything. You know, maybe we're able to get a couple stops late, just but, you know, he's a heck of a player. Bounce back game from him, which is exactly what we expected.
Meanwhile, Milwaukee's Giannis Antetokounmpo is another heck of a player. The two-time league most valuable player tallied 26 points, 14 rebounds, and 8 assists in game four.
We wanted this bad, and the team showed it tonight, but we got to keep getting better. Got to keep getting better. We got to keep taking steps forward and keep playing good basketball.
Game five in the NBA Finals is Saturday night in the western U.S. city of Phoenix, Arizona. Phoenix's head coach, Monty Williams, takes a look at the game four stat sheet.
We shot 50% from the field, but they got 19 more possessions. And, you know, over the course of the game, when you just give it up that many times, the turnovers and offensive rebounding was a bit of a hill for us to climb.
That's Phoenix Suns head coach Monty Williams. The Suns are tied with the Milwaukee Bucks at two games each in the NBA Finals. Meanwhile, two basketball fans sitting next to each other for Game 4 in Milwaukee Wednesday night were Hall of Fame players Oscar Robertson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Oscar and Kareem starred for the Bucks 50 years ago in 1971 when the Bucks won their first and only NBA championship.
My name is Elizabeth Okumu, assistant captain and player, University of Nairobi Dynamite basketball team, and currently a player of Lioness, the Kenya national team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Kenya's Lionesses blew a 25-point lead Wednesday and lost to Egypt 107-106 at the FIBA Women's AfroBasket Zone 5 qualifying tournament in Kigali, Rwanda. The Egyptian women won all three of their group games and finished with the maximum 6 points. The Kenyan women beat South Sudan Tuesday 66-48 for their only win in group play. In the semifinals on Friday, Rwanda will host Kenya and Egypt will play South Sudan. The winner of this tournament will qualify for the FIBA Women's AfroBasket 2021, which will be played from September 17th to September 26th in Yaounde, Cameroon.
This is Natasha Cummings Price, head coach for the International Women's Basketball Team of Cameroon and the Erie Community College Women's Basketball Coach. You are listening to Sunnyside Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Coach.
The U.S. National Institute of Aging describes Alzheimer's disease as a progressive and irreversible brain condition that slowly destroys a person's memory and ability to think. It can also affect the patient's family and friends. This is Rick Pantaleo. Please listen to the Science Edition of Press Conference USA for a discussion on Alzheimer's disease and other forms of irreversible dementia. Listen Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Tokyo reported its highest number of new COVID-19 cases, 1,149, in almost 6 months, with the Olympic Games officially opening in the Japanese capital in just over a week. International Olympic Committee President Thomas Bach and Japanese Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga have pledged that the Tokyo Olympics will be safe and secure, despite the games opening with Tokyo under a COVID-19 state of emergency. Olympic athletes will put their medals around their own necks to protect against spreading the coronavirus. And there will be no hugs or handshakes at the medals podium during Olympic awards ceremonies. In more Olympic news, world 1500 meters champion Timothy Cheruiyot has officially been added to Team Kenya for the Tokyo Games. Cheruiyot finished fourth in the 1500 meters at Kenya's Olympic trials, but runner-up Kamar Etyang was dropped from the team. A Kenya Olympic Committee spokesperson said Etyang had not undergone 3 out-of-competition tests in the past 10 months, which is a rule for selection. Last week in Monaco, Cheruiyot clocked a personal best 3 minutes and 28.28 seconds, the fastest time in the world this year. For the second consecutive Olympics, a refugee Olympic team will be represented at the International Sports Jamboree. The 29-member refugee Olympic team for the Tokyo Games includes 10 athletes originally from Africa. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports Olympic feature, Magume Davis Rakawinj reports on a coach and runner on the team from South Sudan.
When South Sudan is refugee, Paulo Amutun Lokolo fled conflict from the country's western equatorial state to Kenya in 2006. Little did he know he would participate in international sports. He loved football, a game usually played with fellow refugees at Kakuma refugee camp. But all this changed when he was encouraged to participate in a peace-building marathon organized by UNHCR and Kenya's Tigran Lupe, an Olympian and a former marathon world record holder.
I didn't have that idea or that psychology of being in front or being behind, but I was just, my aim was only to follow the people who were going in front of me. Then I see 7 guys that are in front of me. Then I say, okay, let me follow them behind. I follow them at the certain point, so I found some guys that are tired, then I read them. And I still keep on going, running until I find all those guys.
He eventually settled for a 1500 meters category. Paulo is among 6 refugees that will be returning to compete at the World Olympics having participated at the Rio Olympics. Another South Sudanese refugee that will be returning to the Olympics is Matthew Lam, who is now part of the coaching staff for refugee athletes in Kenya. He says he's glad to be able to share his experience with fellow refugees.
I'll be cheering for my team, a team that I was part of, and I'm still part of, the refugee team. We believe they are the best guys because, you know, they have the courage to start running. They are the world class, you know, running with the best in the world. So I'll be cheering them. I'm the team assistant for the refugee team in Tokyo. So I'll be helping them in all those things they want to. I see them, they need help.
The selection of the refugee team for Tokyo was based on the three sporting performance and the refugee status as confirmed by the UN Refugee Agency, the UNHCR, and also a balanced representativity in terms of sport, gender, and regions. IOC President Thomas Bach said it is important to have refugees participate at the Olympics because it will send a powerful message of solidarity, resilience, and hope to the world. Robin Toskin is a sports editor at Kenya Standard Group.
For the refugees to participate at the Olympics, it is really an important step towards integrating those refugees who are living outside their countries. And it was not because of their making, but because of other forces that are beyond their reach.
Paulo says although he's glad to be settled in Kenya, he believes one day peace will reign back in South Sudan, so he can then fly the South Sudanese flag at the international competitions like the Olympics.
Now I'm outside my country, but what I can say, one day, one time, so when our country settled down, so maybe I'll go back and represent my country.
The 29 refugees competing at this year's Olympics are from Afghanistan, Cameroon, DR Congo, Republic of Congo, and Eritrea. Others are from Iraq, Syria, Venezuela, South Sudan, and Sudan. They will compete in different categories such as swimming, athletics, badminton, boxing, canoeing, cycling, judo, karate, shooting, taekwondo, weightlifting, and wrestling. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinyi in Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Mugume.
Hi, this is Tatiana McFadden, 17-time Paralympic medalist, 7-time gold medalist, 17-time marathon champion, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
My name is Shakur Samed, junior brother of Bassi Samed Sasamer, a light heavyweight. The Ghana national team and an Olympic qualifier. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
The Olympic boxing tournament in Tokyo will feature both men's and women's competition. The men will fight in 8 weight classes: flyweight, featherweight, lightweight, welterweight, middleweight, light heavyweight, heavyweight, and super heavyweight. The women, meanwhile, will trade punches in 5 weight classes: flyweight, featherweight, lightweight, welterweight, and middleweight. Ghana's national boxing team, nicknamed the Black Bombers, has several fighters who have qualified for the Tokyo Games. Our friend in Accra, Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori, asked the head coach of the Black Bombers, Ofori Asare, about the team's Olympic preparations.
For now, we are doing our best. The pandemic has been very frustrating towards the Olympic Games, but Olympic Games is the highest platform that you can perform in this sports world. So we are determined to be able to go there and make a mark, because we know that Ghana has been able to win medal at the Olympics at Tokyo before, and that history is there. So our presence, that medal will rank in people's mind that Ghana, when you look into history, Ghana's won medal here before. So we want to go there to perform and, if possible, to win medal. So we are determined very, very hard. We are training every day, and we are going through the most important training agreements. And we know that no matter what, we'll be able to hit a target.
How are you getting the support? I mean, you need a lot to assist the boys. Financial, practical, everything.
Yeah, actually, there are some individuals who have supported us from the beginning, even to our qualification, as well as the sports authority and then the Ghana Olympic Committee as well. The support we had is not enough. We want more. We want more because to take another 4 years to go to the Olympics Games, and it takes a person's life changing to go into Olympics Games and be able to make a mark for himself and for the country itself. So we are calling on a corporate body. We know government cannot do it alone. We know the federation cannot do it alone. It is all hands on board that will enable us to achieve something. Even we need certain things, any simple thing that you have to support the team, even water or whatever, when you bring it, we accept and we'll be very, very grateful for anybody who will come into our aid.
Now, I think the joy for Ghana and the joy for you is you have three boxers qualified for the games. How do you rank them? How do you rate them? I mean, talking about their medal hopeful.
Yeah, boxing is a sport that has no respect for the master. That is why we call it street science. And we are going there. The ranking is another thing. The performance is also another thing. Your preparation before you get there is also another thing. So we are looking up to our preparation now to the day. And we believe that all the boxers that we have are capable of making difference at the Olympics, because they cannot go to the Olympics if they are not good boxers. You need to pass through qualification before you get there. So since we've qualified and we are part of the best in the world, we also go there to compete and rub shoulders with the ranking number one, number two, whatever they call themselves. We'll go there to be able to make a mark. This time we have about 8 boxers ranked in the world, and we have 3 of them in the national team. One of our boxers is 7 in the world. Shaku Same is 7 in the world. We are not far back. Some of them are 15, 14, 10. So we are also part of the best boxers in the world. And we are going to make sure that our name will be heard after the Olympics.
How is your voice well composed of these games? I mean, are they entertaining, some H-backs or something like that?
Well, actually, the normal complaint is the support that I'm also asking for. It's what all of us are asking for. But the boys are very, very serious. They know what they go through before they qualify. It wasn't easy. It wasn't the same like other countries. We are from a country that the economy level is not like the other. We can't compare ourselves to America or those sort of things. They have their level. But it is the Olympic platform that will be able to prove that we can also make an amend in terms of achievement. So they know it, and because of that, they are determined to be able to achieve something. because within them they know that they want to also make an impact at this particular platform. So based on that, even though they complain, they are still focused.
I know you are a straightforward coach in boxing. You don't like predicting games. What do you think medals will come among the three boxers?
You see, these three boxers, it's very difficult for me even to see the best ones. And also, as you go to the competition, you don't know the kind of boxer you will meet. They will do the draws, the balloting will show the kind of boxer you meet. But they are all in a level that they can make a change or they can surprise, because they did that from the African qualification. I have one boxer who has never been to any major tournament before. And he went to Senegal and he beat the number one in Africa. So it tells you the level of our preparation and our technical level and tactical level, things that we can do. Ghana is a boxing nation. There's no doubt about it. You can call it through Azuma Nelson, Aikwote, and then even the past Aikwote Senior, as well as Roy Ankara, Atukwe Klote. So Ghana is a boxing nation. So you never underrate Ghana in any platform when it comes to boxing.
Let me wish you good luck for the coming up Olympic Games in Tokyo.
Thank you very much. And thank you for all that you've been doing for us.
That's Afori Asare, the head coach of Ghana's national boxing team, nicknamed the Black Bombers. And he spoke with Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori in Accra, Ghana.
My name is Coach Afori Asare, the head coach of the national boxing team of Ghana. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hi, I'm Kim Lewis, moderator for Issues in the News. Join me and a panel of journalists as we discuss the top stories of the week, including U.S. President Joe Biden expressed support for the people of Cuba, who took to the streets in one of the largest anti-government protests seen on the Caribbean island nation in decades. Listen to Issues in the News this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Thanks, Kim. Some more fun facts about the upcoming Tokyo Olympics. Remember, VOA Olympic fans, the opening ceremony is July 23rd at Tokyo's Olympic Stadium. Now, about 5,000 medals have been produced for Olympians and Paralympians from discarded electronic devices that were contributed by people all over Japan and then recycled. There will be 339 medal events at the Tokyo Games. Four new sports will be making their debut at the Tokyo Olympics: surfing, skateboarding, karate, and sport climbing. Baseball and softball are returning for the first time since 2008.
Yes, sporty greetings. This is three-time Olympian and Beijing 2008 Olympic medalist Chika Chukwumerijie. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Chika. British police said Thursday that four people have been arrested over online racist abuse aimed at members of England's national football team after its loss to Italy in the Euro 2020 final. VOA's Gwen Ooten has more reaction. Hey there, Gwen.
Hey there, Sonny. English footballers Marcus Rashford, Jadon Sancho, and Bukayo Saka were subjected to racist comments after they missed penalty kicks that led to England's defeat against Italy. London's Metropolitan Police continues their investigation into the comments that were posted on Twitter and Instagram. And on Wednesday, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson vowed to strengthen measures against online racist abuse of football players. Incidents of racism is a recurring issue in the sport, and the latest attacks have been condemned by politicians, football clubs, and athletes, including eight-time Olympic track and field champion Usain Bolt. 3 years ago, Bolt traded his running shoes to pursue his dream of playing football. However, he turned down a contract that would kickstart his professional career. Earlier this week, he was asked about the racial abuse that followed the Euro final in England. And Bolt told Reuters News, racism has no place in the sport.
For me, it's very tough to see these things as a African, as a Africanism, as a black person. I can tell you, it must be rough on them. And you can't blame these guys. They don't make decisions that will take the penalty. I saw that they came on in the last minute. As a coach, I would put on somebody at that point. And to be a tough kick like that to a 19-year-old. That's a lot of pressure, I understand. So it was very unfair, and I can't believe that this is where football is headed. I've loved football throughout my entire career. I've followed all these players, and I was always cheering for them. So it's tough to see something like that going on. We're all going to be upset that it is a penalty, but when it gets to the race, then it's a problem, you understand? You can't be upset at a person for missing because that we're human. But if you're going to bring race into it, you understand, then it has no place in football or just in general.
The world's fastest man also addressed the sanction against American sprinter Sha'Carri Richardson that bans her from competing in Tokyo after she tested positive for marijuana. Bolt said that while athletes must compete within the rules, he hopes Richardson will get back on the track.
I've explained to people, a lot of people have come up to me and asked me about this, and I've always explained to people that the rules are the rules. I've been saying this through my years when it comes to drugs. I have nothing to say about the rules are the rules, and I if they say we do this and this is the rule, that is the rule, you understand? So for me, hopefully she can learn from this and just push on. I know that she has gone through a lot, you understand? But I hope she can refocus and just push on and do her best because she's like a really talented athlete.
In April, Richardson clocked a time in under 11 seconds in the 100 meters and was aiming to become the first American woman to win gold in that event since 1996. Meanwhile, the athletes that make up Team USA will be looking sharp as they pursue Olympic dreams of their own. For the past 13 years, the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic teams have called on fashion company Polo Ralph Lauren to design their official uniform. And on Wednesday, Reuters News was invited to the state of New York to view Team USA's upcoming look. Three-time Olympian and gold medalist Connor Fields is an ambassador for Polo Ralph Lauren. And Fields says some unique changes have been made in this year's design.
This time around, they had to plan for it being very hot and humid. Japan, the climate, it's hot and humid. When you're doing the ceremonies, you're outside for hours standing in the stadium. So this blazer is definitely a little bit thinner than ones we've had in the past. The jeans are very, very lightweight, very thin, and won't be too hot.
Peter Westbrook is also a company ambassador and a six-time Olympian and bronze medalist and former flag bearer for Team USA. Westbrook points out the cooler uniforms enhance Ralph Lauren's signature style.
All the athletes wear the Ralph Lauren gear. The flag bearer wears this, especially fitted. They fit your size. They customize everything to fit every athlete. So when we walk in, not only do we look cool, we feel cool. Excuse my expression, we even smell cool. So all the athletes around the world, we look at one another. Sometimes all the other athletes from different countries, they like to change and wear our gear.
The uniforms represent the red, white, and blue colors of the American flag with an emphasis on the color red that the company says is a nod to the Olympic host country, Japan. You can see the uniforms for the United States and countries around the world when the athletes march during the opening ceremony on July 23rd and again when the Olympics close on August 8th. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
And while the Olympic Games opening ceremony is July 23rd, the men's and women's Olympic football tournaments kick off earlier. The women play their first matches on July 21st, and the men begin on July 22nd. And that wraps up the July 15th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.